Book of 2 Timothy is a marvelous book. I think you'll like it. And I'm not really going to go verse by verse. I'm just mainly picked out certain verses that I really do like, and I'm going to share them with you in this study. It'll go make it go a little bit faster, and I think you'll enjoy it. Timothy, of course, he was a young preacher, and his mentor was the Apostle Paul. And when you look at 1 and 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul's the one who wrote it. And he loved this young man by the name of Timothy. He did. And they were, I guess, awful close in the ministry. So what we're going to do this evening then is if you would, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I'm going to try to take you, if at all possible, I'm going to try to take you down to chapter 4. But I'm not going to cover, I'm just going to cover high points. I'm just going to cover the high points of it. Now, in the past, usually what I did is I go verse by verse by verse, and then I give tests on it. But I'm not going to do that this time or anything. Of course, the tests, we never took them up anyhow. We just use them. It's fun just sometimes to see what you remember. That's the only reason why we did it anyhow. Okay? Now, I'm going to give this message this evening, Paul's life verses. The Apostle Paul's life verses. Of course, there's a lot of great life verses in the book of Timothy. And what I've done is I've picked out several out of this text for us to remember and to follow and to listen to. Okay? So let's begin, and we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and the verse 9. And that's going to be our first life verse we're going to look for. And I love this one. This one will preach, buddy. You talk about a text that'll preach. The book of 2 Timothy 1, 9. It'll preach. Now, notice what it says. It says, "Who has saved us? And he called us with a holy calling." Now, here he's talking about salvation. And you know who saves you in salvation? The Lord's the one that saves you. You don't save yourself. The glory for salvation always belongs to the Lord. He's the one that opens your heart. Do y'all agree with me? He'll open your heart and he'll open your understanding. And before I was saved, I was just like you or whoever. Maybe if there's anybody in here, we might not have nobody in here tonight that's unsaved. But many times they are. And the most important thing is in salvation that God called. Did y'all realize God calls you in salvation? Now, it's not a verbal voice that falls out of heaven or anything like that. But go ahead and look back at 2 Timothy 1, 9 again. And it says, "Who hath saved us?" And who saved you is the Lord. The Lord is the one that does the saving. We preach the gospel. We preach the salvation message, and then what the Lord does is He moves the heart and opens the heart, and then the person trusts Jesus as their Savior. It's the greatest thing that happens in a church, I think, is when someone trusts Jesus as their Savior. So verse 9 says, "Who hath saved us?" And who saved me and who saved you? If you're here tonight and born again, who saved you was Jesus. He's the one that does it. And we pray for the salvation of sinners, don't we? We want to see people saved, and we want to see them get born again. So it says He saved us, and He called us. You see where it says He called you? Now, this isn't a verbal voice. You know, people start talking about hearing voices. I get nervous about it. You know what I mean? I really do. But the idea is He saved us. And He called us with a holy calling. And that holy calling is this Holy Spirit of God opening the heart of an unbeliever. He's the one that does that. I can't save you. I can tell you how to be saved, but I can't. I'm not the one that does the savings. I share it with people. And then the Holy Spirit takes that message, that gospel message, to the heart. And it brings about the salvation of their soul. And that's what people need more than anything else in this world. Beloved, let's see, how old am I? I'm 60. I hate saying that, but I'm 60. And the average lifespan of man now, it's 70 years 70 years. And sometimes by reason of strength, it's 80 years, the Psalm says. But it says, the Scripture says, but it's soon over. I want to say that one more time. It's soon over and you fly away. That's what the Scripture says. You say, well, fly away. Where do you fly away to? That's the important part. Where do you fly away to when you die? Now, everybody, if the Lord doesn't come in our lifetime, we're all going to die. But the glorious thing is where you go to when you die. That's one of the reasons why I'm a pastor. I like to share the gospel message with people, and I want people to be ready. I want people to be ready. I've done probably, several hundred funeral services over my 40-year tenure here over the years. But you'll see that constantly. People living for the normal things, what they think about, but they forget the eternal things. And what I'm concerned about with regard to us, to you, and is the eternal things. You're going to spend an eternity somewhere. I want you to spend eternity in heaven. I want you to go to heaven when you die. And to me, that's the most important thing there is. I don't see how anybody could consider anything any more important than having everlasting life. Okay? So I got to pick it up. He saved us. Who has saved us? The Lord's one that saved us. How he done that is he opened your heart. He opened your understanding and you received a need of salvation is what happened. And the Holy Spirit is the one that does that. He works on your heart. And you and old timers used to call it, don't you? They used to call it Mount Zion conviction. And you know what conviction is? Man, when the Holy Spirit gets a part of your heart and he begins to convict your heart and you realize you're a sinner, then the Holy Spirit makes you want to get saved. That's why I don't pull people down front. I've never done that. Don't ever plan on doing that. All I'm trying to tell you is when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, you don't have to pull anybody. They'll come. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He draws. He draws us to himself. And the Holy Spirit's the one that does it. The Lord's the one that does it. He really is. All right, that's still verse 9. He saved us. He called us with a holy calling. Now, this calling isn't according to your works. You notice it right there? It's not according to your works. You didn't earn this calling. You didn't earn this salvation either. So he called us with a holy calling. It's not according to your what again? It's not according to your works. When you're born again, you'll do good works, but you don't do them to get saved. You do them because you are saved. And you want to represent the Lord well. So he called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. His own purpose and grace. What's grace? What's grace? It's unmerited favor. It used to be an acrostic I knew. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what grace is. And that's what the Lord does when he saves you. He lays the grace on you. You know what? If I got what I deserved, what I'd get, I'd slide right into hell if I got what I deserve. But God bestowed upon me his grace. That's why I love him so. That's why I'm going to heaven. That's why I've been saved from hell. All of that. And I want you to have what I have. I do. That's why I preach. I want you to have everlasting life. I want you to have a home in the Father's house. I want you to have victory over death. I want you to have all these things. These are blessings. Y'all agree? The greatest things that they are. Okay? All right. He saved us. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us. When did the Lord... I want y'all to get this. There are some folks who don't like this, but I'm telling you right now, I like what this says right here. How long has the Lord loved you? How long has the Lord loved you? Think about it. How long has He done it? Watch this now. Still in verse 9. According to His purpose and grace, which was, I want you to get this, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world ever began. I could probably run around this thing a few times after saying something like that, don't you think? Isn't that a glorious thing? I mean, just look what it says. According to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus, when? What to say? Before the world ever began. Now, what does that tell you? What does that tell you? He's loved you a long way back there. He loved you a long way back there. And the day you was born again is when He called you by His grace. That's what He does. He's the one that does it. That's why I love Him so. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd still be in my sin. Still be the same way I was before. But God laid the grace on me, son. And when He does that, it changes your whole world around. You seek to serve Him because you love Him. You want to please Him. You want to serve Him. All of these kinds of things. So that's 2 Timothy 1:9. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4. I'm just picking out certain of my favorite texts out of Timothy. And I love the book of Timothy. Did y'all like 2 Timothy 1:9? That's a pretty text, ain't it? He's loved us since before the world ever began, and He called us. There was a day in your life when He called us by His grace. It wasn't a verbal voice out of heaven or anything like that, but the Holy Spirit will take and touch your heart and show you that you need to be saved. And the Lord, the one that does that. And you want it then. You'll never see me pull anybody down the church aisle in this church. But I'm going to tell you one thing. When the Holy Spirit of God and that Mount Zion conviction gets a hold of you, you won't have to be pulled. You'll come. All God's people said. That's how it works. That's how it works. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and let's look at 1 through 4. 1 through 4. Now, again, who wrote the book of Timothy? Paul wrote it, and he wrote, and this Timothy here was a young preacher. He was trained under the Apostle Paul, so that's who he is. Paul loved him. Paul loved him. And he wrote this book, this epistle, to him. And he's trying to strengthen and encourage him by writing him this book. All right, verse 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in... Here we're talking about grace again. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what grace is. When I tell you I'm saved by grace, you know what I'm telling you, don't you? When I'm telling you you're saved by grace, do you know what I'm telling you? I'm telling you that you didn't save yourself. I'm telling you you're saved by grace. It's not because you're smarter or better than anybody else. It was all because of grace. And if it wasn't for God's grace, listen to me, I'd still be in my sin somewhere or dead. God laid the grace on me. Never been the same since. The Lord laid grace on Stewie too. You couldn't keep him out of a fight. That's the truth. Now, am I telling the truth? You couldn't keep him out of a fight. Oh, that's all we wanted to do when we worked up to the plan. I broke him out of more fights than you can count. But now, he's so tender-hearted. It's just unbelievable to see how the Lord tenderizes somebody's heart when they're born again. It changes you. Don't want to talk that way anymore. Don't want to live that way anymore. Don't want to do those kinds of things no more. And God does that not to save you, but because you are saved. That's what He does. I'm going to tell you one thing. If the Lord saves your soul, it'll change your life. And if it doesn't change your life, there's something wrong with it. Because I'm telling you, when you're truly born again, it's going to change you. And as a pastor, I've been a pastor for 40 years. When someone makes a profession of faith in Jesus, I look for a change. I look for a change. You say, well, you said you're not saved by your works. You're not. You're not. But I'm telling you, if you've been born again, you're going to want to please the Lord and live for the Lord. All God's people say it. All right, let me read on down. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Thou therefore be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. That was the Bible college I went to. The Bible college that I went to, this was on the sign out front of the church. Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. That was a school I went to, and that was the theme of it. Teach so that other people can learn and grow in the things of the Lord. I want you to know about the things of the Lord. I want you to know about these things. I want you to learn them and have them in your heart and have convictions about it. See? All right, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness. I want you to look at that in verse 3 again. Endure what? I didn't hear you. Hardness. Endure hardness. You know, sometimes as a Christian, you got to endure hardness. Did Paul endure hardness? Oh, he was beaten over and over again some of them was those Roman cat of nine tail whips. They beat him. What for? Preaching. He's preaching the gospel. He's trying to reach souls. They'd drag him out and they'd beat him. God's people, and you go back and look at the past, a lot of beatings were handed out towards God's people. It really was. And that's why it says to endure what in verse 3? Endure hardness. See, they knew back in them days, they knew they might get killed. That's what they knew. They knew they may get killed, they may be put in prison, they may be beaten. So he tells them to do what? Run and hide? No, he says to endure hardness. He expects that of his people. Hey, does God still expect that from us? It's hard to tell what's going to happen in this nation. It's hard to tell what's going to happen in the next years that's coming up. I don't know. I'm not no prophet or anything, but it's hard to say what's going to happen in the years that's coming ahead. I wonder. But I'm going to tell you one thing. We're going to have to, I guarantee you, there'll be a time when we'll have to endure some hardness. Times are going to get harder and going to get a bit rougher. So he says in verse 3, endure hardness is a good, he calls you a good what? A soldier. When you're born again and you've trusted Christ, you probably heard the song when you was a little boy, Onward Christian Soldier, or little girl, Onward Christian Soldier. We are supposed to be soldiers in the Lord's army. And we are supposed to what? Seek to please Him with our lives. So he said, endure what again? Hardness. Now that's hard for me to really take a grip to, because, like I said, you go back and look at the trail of blood, and in that time frame, When the Trail of Blood is a book, is what it is, and it told the story of all these different martyrs back, you know, in the 1500s and even back before that, and how they went through all these beatings and how they were put in jail and how they were hung by crosses. Talks about all of that. And he tells them here to endure what? Endure it. God's people was expected to endure it. Not run away from it. They were expected to endure it. It's hard to even imagine thinking that way, especially in our land. It's hard to imagine to think that way. So he says, be strong. He says to endure hardness. And in chapter 2 and verse 4, this is 2:1, 2:2, 2:3, now here's 2:4. It says to avoid entanglements. Look at verse 4 now. Are you ready? I wanted to give you verse 4. I will give you some more here in a minute. Verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. What does it mean to be entangled? You ever got entangled before? What's it mean to be entangled? You know, sometimes what happens to God's people, they get so wrapped up with the world that they get entangled with the things of the world. And what it does is it takes all your time. People say all the time about I just ain't got time. You've got as much time as anybody else does. It's just how you choose to use it. There's a lot of people that claim to know the Lord, but they're entangled with the world so bad that they don't have no time to do anything for the Lord. They're all wrapped up. You ever seen anybody that way? You say, well, man, I haven't seen you forever. I've missed you so bad and all these kinds of things. Well, I've been busy. No, you've been entangled. That's what happened. Wrapped you up. You didn't have time to do anything else. Beloved, when you're born again, the main thing's Jesus. That's the main thing. I'm a servant. If you're here tonight and you're born again, you're a servant. And our whole world, now that we're born again, is to serve Him. All of our days. And we're accountable for that. We're accountable for that. God expects us to serve Him. Hey, can I say something else? He deserves it, don't He? He sent His Son to die for an old hell-bound, no-good-for-nothing sinner like Jeff Arthur. He did. And I love Him so. I don't serve Him to get saved. I serve Him because I am saved. And I want to serve Him. I want to please Him. All of us here tonight that's born again and trusted Jesus as your Savior, you should have a desire in your heart to want to serve Him and please Him. I think the Lord wants us to do that. It's what He says. So He says to avoid entanglements. Now let's look at, I want to get this done. Let's go to Second Timothy and verse 2. Let me see if this is the right one I want to get. Yeah. Chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. 2 and 10. Now He's going to use the term of endure. He's going to use two words here that I want you to hear. Now, one of the words here a lot of people don't like, but I want to tell you, if you don't like it, I didn't write it. Everybody got me? There's two words here that I want you to get. And this is 2 Timothy, and this is our third one. This is 2 Timothy 2 and the verse 10. Notice what it says. Therefore, he's talking to this young preacher whose name was what? Timothy. This is Timothy. What's he telling him to do? Therefore, I endure all things. Now, what's he talking about? Endurance. God's people are expected to show forth endurance. Y'all agree with me? He expects us to show endurance. We serve the Lord, and part of that is endurance training, buddy. He wants you to endure. He wants you to carry on in a good way. So he says, I endure all things. Now notice what he calls God's people in verse 10. I want everybody to get this. You see in verse 10, he says, I endure all things for who? Elect's sake. What's the word elect mean? Anybody know? Chosen. That's what it means. Look it up in a Bible dictionary, wherever you want, or a concordance. That's what it means. Elect is chosen. He chose you. Chose to save you. Aren't you glad he done that? Said he's affectionate. Man, if I got what I deserved, I'd slide right into hell. But I didn't get what I deserved. God gave me his grace and his mercy. And hey, I ain't never forgot it. You ever heard somebody say they forget where they come from? You ever heard anybody say that before? We don't ever want to forget where we come from. We were in sin, and the Lord, in his grace, reached down and opened our heart and opened our understanding and drawed us right to himself. And we trusted him as our Savior, and it changed our life forever. It did. Okay. All right, this is number four. How many do I got? I just got two more. Two more. 2 Timothy chapter 3, this is 15 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Are you ready? Say amen. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Now I want you to listen to this. From a child, and this word child is the Greek word brephos, just like a small child is what it's talking about. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Timothy knew the Scriptures from a child. Now, parents, one of the things that parents wants to do is we want to do that. We want to instruct them in the ways of the Lord. See? For if a child's going to learn it, it's usually the parents that does. Give them the Scriptures so that they can learn them. It's sad sometimes. I've seen children stray off, but I've also seen children come back. They stopped when they was young, still had that base in their heart when they was young. It's a wonderful thing when they come back. And that's what we should pray for our children. Beloved, we need to pray for our children. This is hard times that we're living in. And it's getting worse and worse in this old nation. Worse and worse. So, he says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. You know, my daddy ain't here. Of course, dad's with the Lord, and my mom ain't here this evening. But you know who taught me the Holy Scriptures? My mom. My mom did. Now, my dad made me go. Mom done a lot of the teaching part. But dad was the one who come in here, get your clothes on and go to church, boy. That's just what he did. And that's, hey, and I come ever since whenever he wanted me to do that. It's important. And he thought it was important that a child be taught about Jesus. Y'all think? It's important that a child hear about the Lord so that they can trust in the Lord. Important. I love to see children saved. I love to see teenagers saved. I love to see anybody saved. I love to see it. It's a glorious thing. So he said, I knowed the Scriptures from a child. And he said that the Scriptures was able to make you wise to salvation. That's why, I know what I was going to tell you. My mom taught me the Scriptures a lot. She taught me a lot about the Scriptures. But there's a neighbor where I lived at that said, he won't remember none of that. You're just wasting your time. I'm 60 years old. I still remember it. All God's people say it. I haven't missed it. I mean, I still remember just as plain as day. What greater thing can you do for your children than tell them about Jesus? What can you do any greater than that? You want them to know. Because you want them to go to glory. You want to be in heaven. I want to spend forever. Sometimes I'll tell that, I want to spend forever together. But it ain't going to be that way if they're not saved, is it? Not if they're not saved. God's people need to have a burden for the lost children and the lost people in your families. There should be a burden there. There ain't nothing wrong with weeping over sinners either. Not a thing in the world wrong with weeping over sinner people. Because you want to see them saved. I've seen people cry just like crazy over somebody in their family that was lost because they cared for their souls. And they wanted to see them saved and they wanted to go to heaven. Want them to go to heaven with them, you know. See, sometimes what you think about, you think, man, if this doesn't change around here, I won't spend eternity with this one, or I won't spend eternity with this one, or that one, or whatever. I want to spend eternity with those that are in my family, don't you? I like to say I want to spend forever together. See, the average lifespan of man in Psalms 90 and verse 10 is 70 years. And by reason of strength, it's sometimes 80 years. That's what the Scripture says. But here's what the Scripture says. But it's soon over. But it's what? It's soon over and you fly away. That's what the Scripture says. Psalms 90. Moses wrote it. It's soon over and you do what? What's important though? Where you fly away to? Where you fly away to? That's why we preach. That's why we worship. That's why we go out on jobs and talk to people, you know. Talk to people in school and things. We want to see people saved. It's as dangerous times that we're living in today. But sometimes people have a tendency to miss what the main things are. The main thing's still heaven, isn't it? Main thing still salvation from hell, right? Main thing is still having everlasting life, right? These are the main things. People's missing the main things. Talking about all these other things. Talk about the main thing, which is the Lord. Okay? All right, let me finish this up. Let me finish it up. 2 Timothy 3:15-17. Let me read it again. From a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise to what? Make you wise to salvation. I hope you haven't forgot about salvation. I hope you haven't forgot about eternity. That's what matters. That's what matters, okay? Teach your children. Set the example for them. They need to be able to see it in you. All right, here's just the last one. 2 Timothy 4:6-8. 2 Timothy 4:6-8. Paul, the book of 2 Timothy, of course, as I told you, that Paul wrote it. And it's extra special. I think it's an extra special closing here that I really love this closing. I've always liked it real well. Are you ready? If you're ready, say amen. I'm going to read 6 through 8, and then we'll stop, okay? Here's what Paul says at the end of this book. He said, I'm now ready. I'm now ready to be what? I'm ready to be offered. And the idea of offered is like poured out, is the meaning of the word. It's poured out like a drink offering. They would sometimes pour that in the fire whenever they had a drink offering. So the idea is to be poured out like a drink offering. He said, I'm now ready to be offered. That means, you know what Apostle Paul's saying here? I'm ready to go up. I'm ready to get out of here. He knew he was getting ready to die. Most think he was beheaded. It's what the Romans is the one that did it. That's what most people think, anyhow. But before he died, he said, I'm now ready to be offered. In the time of my departure is at hand. He knew he was going. He's done resolved that this is it, and he was right. It's time for him to die. Where will you go when it's time for you to die? Where will you go when it's time for you to die? Y'all think that's an important thing? More nothing any more important in the world than that. You got to know where you're going. Got to know where you're going. Okay? All right, let me finish it. For Demas, poor old Paul. Verse 9 here, or 6 through, let me get right here. Let me read 6 through 8, and I might slip on over to verse 9. For the time of my departure is at hand, Paul said, I fought a good what? This wasn't a physical fight with your fists, but this was a fight against the devil and all the unseen demons of the world that was against him. So he says, I'm now ready. I'm now ready to be offered. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go up. And then verse 7, I fought a good fight. Hey, beloved, that's what we want to be able to say. I fought a good one. I fought a good fight. Henceforth, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. That's just like a race course. But his run was coming to the close. He's getting ready to end it up. And then he's going to go to glory is what's going to happen. He knows all of this is coming to pass. And he's talking to this young preacher by the name of Timothy who would take his place once he was gone, see. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. That's the truth of God's word. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. Do you love His appearing? Do you know what they're talking about, don't you? Has Jesus appeared yet? Now, we know He did 2,000 years ago. He came. It's a fact of history that Jesus is here 2,000 years ago. But He's coming again. And this text that we just read talked about loving His appearing. Do you look for? Here's all that means. You're looking forward to Jesus to come. Are you looking forward to Jesus appear? The Bible says He's going to come with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain to the coming Lord. We'll get a new body. We'll go to paradise. Go to glory. Nothing any greater than that. I'm going to stop with that. I'm sorry I went so long.